Hello and welcome to ReWoke, Rewriting Our Kids Education Podcast. Are you ready for another season of rethinking, re-examining, and re-educating our children and ourselves? My name is Michelle Person, and I am so happy to have you along on this journey. The road is long, but we will get there. Welcome to our second season. We work on this podcast to make sure we are rewriting our kids' education so they can become the best versions of themselves. It's important that we remember that our journey often begins before they ever actually set foot in a classroom. On today's episode, we will be talking about getting woke about our health. Our guest today, Marcus Bailey, is a certified nutrition consultant and personal trainer who wants to help as many people as possible take control of their health and wellness. In my experience as an educator, it is so difficult to teach a kid who is hungry. FYI, it is also difficult to teach a kid who is hopped up on flaming hot Cheetos and sunflower seeds, but I digress. We tell our kids it's important to eat healthy, but are we really teaching them what healthy really is? We say they need 3 servings of dairy a day. Do they need calcium and vitamins A and D? Yes, but do they need dairy? Not so much. We tell them to eat 3 servings of protein each day and that meat is the best source of protein. Do we need protein? Yes. Does it have to come from meat? Not at all. It is time we re-educated ourselves and our children about what we put into our bodies because, as the saying goes, you are what you eat. And I don't know about you, but I have no desire to be a flaming hot Cheeto. And oh yeah, are you woke? An apple a day keeps the doctor away. How many times have you heard that saying? It's popular because it's true. People who eat lots of fruits and vegetables go to the doctor less. They have lower cholesterol and healthier hearts. So if we know this, why do we continue to eat crap? And why do we insist on feeding our kids crap? As a teacher, there is nothing more frustrating than watching your students enter the classroom at 8:30 in the morning with a bag of chips and a big gulp. That child is going to be hungry in an hour, irritated in 2 hours, and sent to the principal's office by hour 3 for being unfocused and disruptive. Nearly 20% of 6-year-olds in America are obese, and Black and brown children make up 50% of that 20%. Cases of childhood diabetes is skyrocketing. We know these stats, but for whatever reason, we are slow to change our eating habits. How can we encourage our children to make better food choices? Our guest today, Marcus Bailey, has been on a journey of health for over 15 years. He has made it his life's mission to share what he has learned on his journey so others can live their best and healthiest lives. Marcus Bailey, thank you so much for joining us today. I cannot wait to hear all the great information you have to share.
Good evening. Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
No problem. Now, you are possibly one of the healthiest people I know. But I also know that was not always the case. Now, I didn't know you then, but I've seen pictures. Mm-hmm. And so I want to start off before we get into what we should be doing and what we should be putting into our children. I want the viewers to understand how you came to be upon this journey. So can you tell us, you know, about your health journey and what made you so vigilant about what you began to put in your body?
For sure. You're absolutely right. I certainly have not always been on the path that I'm on now. What really started my path, my journey, and what really ticked me off too, is when my oldest son was about 3 or 4 years old, I looked at a picture, we're just going through a photo album, And I saw pictures of me holding him when he was maybe 2 or 1 or something like that, or sometime recently. And I'd seen the pictures before, but in that moment, I was just flat out disgusted with myself. Mm. I mean, I had looked at the picture. I was angry at myself. I was angry at everybody else around me. Like, now I know you guys see what this picture looks like. Is this what you all see when you look at me and no one has said anything? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't see it, obviously, but you all see it. And I mean, I was just so disgusted. And that's what really kicked it off. That was the one event that just flipped the switch and said, I've got something, to do something different. Has to change.
Yeah. Something has to change. I've got to do something different. I completely Absolutely. Understand. Now, as you began this journey, I think you've learned a lot, you know, a lot about, you know, how what we put in our bodies affects how we feel, what we look like, you know, how it directly impacts our health. I personally, 100%, as being in the classroom, running schools for years, completely and totally 100% wholeheartedly believe that health and academics are intertwined. So much so that every year during state testing, when I was the principal of the school, I would go to school. Now, granted, I know you're probably going to tell me, yeah, Michelle, you shouldn't have eaten pancakes. But every year to make sure they would come in and eat some breakfast before they would sit down for the state test that determined whether or not my school got an A, whether or not I got, you know, whether or not I got to keep my job for another year. I made sure that I went out and every kid knew that the day that they sat down to take the test, Miss Person was making them pancakes. And we started that tradition at my school, and we did it. I was at that particular building for about 5 years, and we did that for 5 years. They couldn't stand testing, but they loved the pancakes.
That's right.
And so the reason behind me doing that was purely selfish. My kids would walk to school every morning. And as they would come in the door, there's a corner store on both corners. There's a corner store, and they would go in the morning. They would take their $2-3 worth of money, and they would come in with flaming hot Cheetos and quarter waters and, you know, big gulps. And I'm just like, you cannot eat that. And I expect for you to be able to perform at any type of academic level. Right. And this test was just too important for me to leave it to flaming hot Cheetos to power them through this 2 hour, yeah, 2.5 hour test. So I 100% get it. But I want to know, what can you share with our listeners about how important it is to monitor what we put in our bodies?
Well, you said a lot of things that I 100% agree with, and I'm going to make a few correlations here. Because one of the things that I have come to believe over my journey of just educating myself, that the first thing that I did was I had to unlearn first and then learn. So that's the hardest part that a lot of people have, is unlearning what they know currently before they start learning something different. We monitor what our kids take into their mind because we as adults know, you know, as a man thinketh, so is he. You know, you're not going to be able to take in negative information and then manifest positive thoughts. I'm not going to say, Michelle, yeah, I mean, I tell you what, just keep listening to people tell you that you won't make it. It's okay. You still will. Keep hanging around with the people that will tell you that you're going to fail. What you're doing is not working. And it's okay. It'll still work out. Keep surrounding yourself with those people. But why is it that we allow ourselves, and this is why it's so important for us to realize what we put into our bodies, because you cannot take in harmful foods and liquids and expect to manifest wellness. Hmm. So you can't take in something bad and expect to get a good result. It's actually one of the few things that we have almost complete control over. So I can walk down the street. I mean, I can't choose what to see and what not to see. Whatever my eyes are open and see, it just sees. Whatever my ears hear, they hear. Only thing I can control is what I put in my mouth. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the one thing that I actually can control, what goes in. Everything else, you know, our mind, we can kind of adjust so that it does different things. So even if we hear something negative, we can do things to, all right, look, she didn't know what she was talking about. Don't believe it. Yeah. I mean, we can self-talk ourselves out of the things that we hear. Mm-hmm. So we can do something to counteract it. But here's the thing. Our bodies are a natural system. So I can't eat a Snickers and be like, all right, that was a carrot. That was a carrot.
That was a carrot.
Yeah. You don't self-talk your, you know, once it goes down your throat, it is going to do what your body is made for it to do. You can't talk your way into a food behaving differently in your body. That's not something that you can will, pray, talk, hope, wish away. So that is why it is so important. You've got complete control over it, what goes in, but you have no control over what happens when it goes down. That is why it is so important.
I 100%, I love the analogy. Like we teach kids self-talk strategies and coping mechanisms and how to deal with the things in their life that they cannot control. If you're in a bad environment or no one's ever told you positive things about yourself, we can definitely teach you how to navigate those situations so that you can produce the type of emotions, the type of feelings, the type of mindset that you need in order to be successful.
That's right.
You cannot do that with food. And so why, and it's simple. Like you would think that that actually is a simple concept for people to understand. But not only does it seem like it's not an easy concept for people to understand, it is so hard for them to change their habits.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it is so hard for them to change their habits? They know that Snickers bar is not turning into a carrot, and they know they need to eat more carrots.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it so hard for them to actually pick up the carrot?
Let me give you a couple of reasons why it's hard. But there's actually some physiological things that happen, and it's pretty sad that you fall into this downward spiral where there's a question about, do people eat a lot because they're fat, or are they fat because they eat a lot?
Mm-hmm.
And face value, it's like, well, yeah, they're fat because they eat a lot. But when you understand the hormonal changes and the chemical things that go on in your body, you don't even realize that the heavier you become, the more toxic your body becomes, the more out of balance your hormones become, your body doesn't even know that you're full. So you're not even eating because you're just like, hey, I like food or whatever. You are in this downward spiral where hormonally, you just continue to feed and feed and feed because your body is getting sicker and sicker and sicker. So it's not about what you eat, it's what you keep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing that I'll say is there's a bunch of physiological things that happen that make it hard for people to change. There's addictive qualities to sugar. There's addictive qualities to dairy. And there's very good reasons why that is. That's why it's hard for people to get off cheese, because there's a chemical in there that makes it addictive for you to eat. So there's some addiction built in that we can talk about if you'd like. But here's a few of the high level reasons why it's hard for people to change. Because unfortunately, it's not a behavior with immediate consequences. I touch a stove, ow, I'm not doing that again.
Mm-hmm.
I rob a bank, I'm on the run, I get caught, I go to jail. There are penalties for negative things that you do in your life. I come to school, I cheat on a test, I get a bad grade. So there's immediate consequences. The problem, and you know, I'll call it a problem because this is one of the things that I think makes it hard to change, is if I drink a soda today, I don't wake up tomorrow with type 2 diabetes. I don't wake up tomorrow with a fatty liver.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow. So I think, well, that was pretty good. It tasted good. I woke up. I feel pretty good. But what we don't realize is that accumulated over time bad habit. And that's where you start to hear people say, well, first of all, I've been eating this for 20 years.
My whole life.
Yeah. And I'm still feeling fine. And then when something happens, we blame, well, it runs in my family. You know, I'm 40 years old now. So we blame age. We blame ancestors. We don't blame our accumulated bad habits. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing, is there's no immediate, we're not able to compress time and see this is going to later equal that. Now that's so where I now
though.
See.
Like, yeah. I agree with that, but it's so funny though, because with my students, you can actually see it right away. Like the, and when I say you can see it right away, the number of obese children in my school is astronomical. Mm-hmm. The number of students in my building 2 years ago, before pandemic, that had been diagnosed, with juvenile diabetes. I went from, in my career, never having a student in my building who was diagnosed mm-hmm. with juvenile diabetes, to yeah. having three.
Well, juvenile diabetes didn't used to exist. It used to just be adult onset diabetes.
Yeah, and so for me, I almost feel like that one, you know, you can, and I get the grown-ups, but for the, you can begin to see the effects on the kids almost immediately. It's a much smaller window.
If you blame the right thing.
If you blame the right thing. Yeah.
That's the problem. You got to blame the right thing. So the other thing is, we as people, we want someone to prove to us why we should do something new. But we don't have that same burden of proof expectation for the habits we currently have. So let me give you an example. You and I are having a conversation, and you're like, all right, so tell me a little bit more about this or that, and why you eat this or why I should eat that. And I say, hey, you know, you should eat X instead of Y. And this is a real conversation a lot of people I've had with. Well, prove to me, guarantee me even. I need a guarantee that X is beneficial for me. And then my question is, well, let me ask you a question before I answer you, because, you know, I'm not selling anything. I'm not here to convince you to do anything. Mm-hmm. What I'd like you to do is tell me, what proof or guarantees do you have that what you're currently eating is beneficial? Well, I don't have any. So you've eaten what you're doing what you currently did or doing with no evidence, no proof, no one had to convince you. You know, you didn't leave your house at 18 and say, well, wait a minute. Now, mom and dad, before I leave home, I need you to give me an essay on everything that you fed me throughout my life. And I need you to prove to me beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is indeed healthy and indeed beneficial for my body. If you can't do that, then I'm going to forget everything that you've taught me about nutrition.
And I'm going to eat McDonald's.
No, that's not what we do. We just keep doing what we've been doing. We want someone to prove to us the new way is better, but we haven't even proven to ourselves that what we're currently doing is working. So the last thing is marketing. Excuse me. So we've adopted product slogans as, you know, nutritional law. You know, milk does a body good, you know, part of a complete breakfast, heart healthy food, you know, low fat, low carb, high this, high protein, longer. I mean, we just keep hearing that stuff. And we go in and we buy based on what the package says. Hmm. Well, I heard so-and-so is better for you. Well, you know, protein is. So that's the other thing, is we are sold very well. There's a lot of money being spent to make sure that we are given a message that's not beneficial for us, but beneficial to the food companies. And it's unfortunate that the people that sell us food don't care about our health. Mm-hmm. And it's also unfortunate that the people who tend to our health don't really pay much attention to our food. Those things make it hard to change. In addition to the fact that I said at the beginning, as we eat bad, which is why it's very important to address this as children, to address this in our children, is because what you see are those that are obese as a child are already hormonally imbalanced. They're already insulin resistant. Mm-hmm. So they may eat some food and you think that they're full. What we think full is a full belly, but the cells of their body have received no nutrition, no energy, because they're insulin resistant. So they're not even able to absorb that. It just gets stored off as fat and unused. So they're already addicted and unable to physiologically and chemically control what they eat, how they eat, because we've now set them on the wrong path. And, you know, we then, of course, allow ourselves to be told by the food industry, hey, you know, just make smart choice. It's your fault. Eat less, work out more. I mean, what's the problem?
Like, continue to eat, you know, 3 pounds of beef at every meal, because that's a great source of protein. But just work out more after you do it. Yeah,
it's on you. You must be lazy. That must be your thing.
So it's amazing how much Jedi mind tricking goes on, first of all, and even in our bodies. The fact that if you start down this path, your body will Jedi mind trick you into thinking that you're still hungry when you're not. You know, there's that. And then the Jedi mind trick of the marketing is real. Like, that milk does the body good slogan, that was huge.
That's right.
You know, that was huge. The idea that dairy has to be included, you know, 3 servings of dairy. It's not, I was so frustrated with my daughter's doctor at the last visit. And, she was saying, you know, how much milk do you drink? And how much? I'm like, we don't drink a lot of milk. Oh, well, she needs her calcium. Yeah. We eat green vegetables at every meal. Yeah. But that milk, she should really be, no, we don't need to get our, like, you know, like, we, I mean, we keep milk in the house. Yes. I'm not as good as you. We do keep milk in the house, for cereal, only for cereal. And we don't really even eat it that often, but you know, she was really on the, how many glasses of milk do you give her every day?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't give her glasses of milk. I make her eat spinach. You know, so that's just, it's just frustrating that even if you go to the doctor, you'll have the doctor, the authority, still not giving you the right information so that you can make better choices, so that we can make sure our children are healthy. That to me was just infuriating.
Yeah. And unfortunately, first of all, I mean, I respect, appreciate, and love healthcare professionals, but their education is set up to manage symptoms, not to manage health. So they don't even get the nutritional training that they should get. I think there's a few hours in the curriculum of a medical doctor's program that they have to go through, a few hours. So anything else that they know, they've done themselves or supplementally. But yeah, I mean, you think of things like milk for calcium. And again, this is how my education of myself, this is how I went about it. Like I was saying earlier, I just looked at everything that I take in and I say, I need to prove that this is what I need. Milk was one of those first things that I gave up for a few reasons. One, well, why am I drinking milk? Well, I'm drinking it for calcium, I think, and strong bones, I think. I think that's why I'm drinking it. Okay, well, let's examine that. What makes milk have calcium? Well, it comes through the cow. Where does the cow get the calcium? Calcium's a mineral. It comes from the earth. Cow eats plants, gives off excess calcium, comes through in milk. Well, let's just see. If I just go eat the plant and bypass that, and I don't want to use this, I hate to use this crude analogy, but I always say, well, that would be the equivalent of saying, hey, I want someone to go eat 3 oranges, go urinate in a cup so I can get me some vitamin C. Yeah. Like, why don't I just eat the oranges?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at statistics, it'll show you United States has the highest level of osteoporosis in the world. And in fact, it's gone up in relation to our dairy consumption.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll look, the age at which young females have started their cycle have come down in relationship to the age or to the dairy consumption,
mm-hmm.
because milk, and you know, I just started to dig in. Let me just look into milk. Milk is given off by cows. Cows need to be impregnated. They need to give birth, and then they lactate, just like humans would. But I imagine that dairy farmers don't give maternity leave. So, no, you've given birth. We're going to impregnate you again. We're going to put you back up on the milker so you can give milk while you're pregnant. What does a mammal do when she's pregnant? Create more estrogen. So what are we drinking? We're drinking estrogenated liquid. So now we're now becoming estrogen dominant. Females, again, are starting their cycle earlier. Males are claiming that low testosterone as a result of getting older versus maybe I'm just estrogen dominant. I'm taking in too much estrogen. Mm-hmm. So I'll skip the estrogen. I don't need the calcium through the milk. I can just go get it directly, like you said, in a more bioavailable source. They'll add vitamin D to it to make it seem like this is what you need for vitamin D milk. Well, this is your only source of getting it. That's how they want you to think. The USDA actually subsidizes the schools.
I couldn't wait for you to pause because I was
go ahead.
Like that. I mean, no, that was my point. My point was like they give us the milk for free. The kids are supposed to just drink it. I mean, like that. They don't give water. They don't send water. They, you know, can't get water in school, but you can get chocolate milk. You can get white milk. You can get strawberry milk. You can get all different types of milk, you know, because that's what they're teaching our kids that's healthy. And it's
that's
not.
Right. That's it's right. Not, yeah. That's right. Yeah. I guess once I put all that out, I haven't proven to myself that I should be drinking milk. Mm. I've actually proven to myself that everything that I think I'm getting, I can get and should get somewhere else, minus the estrogen, minus the addictive properties. I'd like to be in control of what I want when I want it versus being addicted to it. Mm-hmm. And then that's that. And then you move on to the next item. Well, what's next on the list? What else do I eat? Yeah. And let me go through that process with every single thing I eat.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, like, I think like that is now I encourage all of our listeners to go through that process. I think you've broken it down in a really great way for people to understand that what I hope you took away, listeners, is everything you think you're supposed to eat, everything, you need to rethink it. You need to reexamine and rethink everything that you've been told that you should be eating, starting with milk, and then just go down the rest of everything else on your plate at the dinner table, right? Mm-hmm. But if you don't have time for that right now in this moment, what are three things that you think that parents can do quickly and without a whole lot of needing extra education, extra money in the budget? What are three things that parents can do right now that will positively impact their child's health when it comes to what they're putting in their bodies?
First thing is lose the juice. Lose the juice. Fruit juice, fruit drink, fruit punch, soft drinks, energy drinks, all of it. Water, unsweet tea, that's all you need. Oh, well, what about things that are made with real fruit juice? What about orange juice? Aren't those good and loaded with vitamin C? Well, I believe that to be a great drink. So how are you going to convince me that that's something that I should eliminate in my child's diet? Well, first of all, when you take an orange and you extract the juice, you get the sugar, the vitamins, and the water. You've taken away your body's ability to process that properly. In nature, the poison is always packed with the antidote. If I eat the orange, if I eat the apple whole, it limits the amount of sugar that goes directly to the liver. So most of the sugar goes down into your gut, which feeds your gut bacteria, which is healthy, which is what creates, I think about 70% of your immune system is your gut. So we wonder why kids are sick. They have sick guts as well. So when I eat a whole piece of fruit, well, isn't there sugar in that? Yes, but my liver doesn't get all of it. Most of it goes down to the gut. So get rid of juices. We are drinking calories. We're drinking sugar and our livers can't take it. The only difference between a beer, you know, a bottle of beer and a bottle of juice is the ethanol that gives you the buzz. So lose the juice. That's number one. The second thing parents can do is plan ahead and pack. So it's easier said than done, but our children are worth it. You know, I assume that wherever I go, and I'm speaking for me, I'm speaking for the family. Wherever I go, I assume our health is nowhere on my host's list of concerns. pack ahead. Eat a whole meal, a whole food meal before you leave. Non-processed foods. Eat before you get there. Pack some snacks so that if you get there and they're like, oh, there is no fruit tray, there's no veggie tray, there's no, you know, everything is just, that's okay, I brought my own. So again, very inconvenient, but not as inconvenient as watching your child suffer from something that normally a 40, 50-year-old will suffer from. So the last thing that I would say, and this is actually, I would say, the most important, and this puts it square on the listeners, the parents, is to create a do-as-I-do environment, not a do-as-I-say environment. Lead by example. The best thing you can pass down to your child are good habits. You know, and we're thinking like, well, that didn't really make much sense when it comes to food, and I don't know that that works. But most of the time, you know, if someone, if we see a child who's mannerly, who's pleasant, who has a great attitude and a great spirit, you probably assume they have parents that are also pleasant. They treat other people right. If you see a child in school who's coming in and he or she is making, you know, racist comments to someone, I think it stands to reason that they probably got that from their home and they hear their parents make those type of comments. But when we talk about just basic habits, create the environment where you yourself take it seriously first. You can't sit your child down to a plate of Brussels sprouts and great foods and you're like, well, listen, daddy's going to eat this because, listen, I'm grown. You know, so I'm going to eat this number five combo supersize. You know, you don't talk to adults when I'm, you know, you don't worry about what I'm eating. You just eat yours. So you have to be a do as I do, lead by example, value health, value life, take control yourself first, and others will follow.
I think those are all great tips. And the do as I say and not as I do, I think a lot of us have to get out of that mindset that we can just say, no, eat your broccoli, but they're watching you eat French fries. So I think that I love that you said that. Do you have any resources that you can share where parents can go to learn more about, you know, the truth about what we're eating and tips, for helping their kids become healthier?
Real food is the first thing. As close to the farm as possible. If you're going to eat fish, try to eat fish that is wild caught, not farm raised, because you eat what your food eats. So if you eat a fish that was wild caught, that grew up eating algae, that grew up eating what fish eat, then you're going to get the benefit of what that fish gives you. If you eat a fish that was raised on a farm, growing up eating corn and soy, you essentially are going to get a fish that's not omega-3, omega-6 balanced as you think they are. In fact, they're going to be out of whack with omega-6, which creates a lot of inflammation because you're eating a corn-fed, soy-fed fish. So you essentially are eating excess corn, excess soy. So you think, well, it was fish, it must be good. It said USDA grade A, it must be great. Grass-fed, grass-finished beef. You know, vegetables as they were grown. So if you're going to do like fresh frozen, like some broccoli that was cut and then put directly organic broccoli and then frozen, okay. You don't have to do to the produce section every single day. But food, whole food, real food is the thing. The second thing is read labels. If you go to FDA's website, they will tell you the rules that they have set forth, and they've made a lot of changes over the last 20 years, I'll say. A lot of changes came within the last 5. Still not perfect, I'll admit. But they will tell you how to flip over the box and actually see what you're getting. So two things that I'll tell you in terms of resources when you look through food labels and look at the FDA's website. Serving size. We mistake serving size for portion. Oh, 100 calories per serving. Well, this cereal is 100 calories per serving. I had a bowl of cereal, 100 calories. Check. Diet, winning. But you don't realize a serving size is maybe a quarter cup. I mean, and if you eat cereal like I used to eat cereal, you ain't eating no quarter cup. I mean, you're eating a real heaping bowl. Yeah. So you might have 600 calories in one bowl, you know, 50 grams of sugar in one bowl, 30 grams of sugar in one bowl. So pay attention to serving size. The other thing is ingredients are listed in order of predominance. So if you look at things like the sports drinks, well, this is sports drinks. This is good for replenishing electrolytes. You know, athletes drink it. I'm going to drink it. Well, first of all, there's a big difference between someone who just ran a marathon and chugs down a sports drink and what it's going to do for their body, and you saying, whew,
I'm thirsty. Man,
I'm thirsty. You know, yeah, that was a long trip from the house to the car. I need a Powerade. You know, the ingredients on those are water. Normally, the second one is high fructose corn syrup. So water and sugar are the first two things that are in there. And then after that, you know, you may have some calcium and some vitamins and some other things like that, but it's some food colorings. But it's sugar and it's water. So look at the ingredients. And if you see something, whatever you see first is what's most in there. And then it'll list it all the way down to the bottom. And whatever you see at the bottom is what's least in there. And the last thing I'll say on food labels, you will see sugar listed multiple times. So you can look at a label and it'll say high fructose corn syrup, number two. And then number five will be sucrose. Number eight will be you know, aspartame. Or so you'll see sugar listed four or five different ways, and you think, well, doesn't have that much sugar, but they'll split them up so that sugar appears lower on the list. Well, you told me look at the things on the list. First three things are good, good, good. That mean it must be good. But then you don't see sugar is maybe eight of the last 10 things listed. Mm-hmm. So collectively, they actually make up the predominant ingredient. So FDA website will give you the rules on what labeling looks like. What is percentage daily value? What things are required to be listed? How does that work out when it talks about predominance, serving size? And just don't be afraid to go out. I know people have a little bit of an issue. Or where'd you get your information? Google. But Google pulls up information like National Institute of Health, peer-reviewed research studies, randomized controlled trial results, you know, Harvard, University of California, San Francisco. I mean, so you get some scholarly information on these things. So just look up enough information and just, what is this for? Why do I drink milk? Why should I eat this? Is this good or bad for me? Just look that stuff up one item at a time. But don't take the first word you hear as truth. Try to find enough information that says, well, you know what? I think I pretty much convinced myself that this does not make sense. Like, make it make sense to you before you continue to eat it. One item at a time.
Marcus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Parents, that was a lot of information. We were going to have some links to all of the websites that Marcus referenced on the website that you can listen to or look at after the show. I hope what you took away from this is quit giving your kids juice, because that was his number one tip. Thank you so much for your time, Marcus, and it was great having you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, and God bless your listeners, and good luck, and hopefully you and your children look, feel, and live much better just one step at a time.
Are you inspired? Can you take one of Marcus's tips and change your relationship with food and start working on improving your health? I sure do hope so. If not for your sake, for our kids. Hop on over to our Facebook page, Just Like Me Presents. Join our group and let us know what you're going to be doing right now to change your relationship with food. Show notes and resources to everything we talked about today are available on our website, www.justlikemepresents.com. Share this podcast with other parents and educators in your circle, and be sure to hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. Thank you again to Marcus Bailey for stopping by to chat with us, and thank you for showing back up and tuning in as we embark on season 2. Next week, we will be exploring religion and to what extent it can impact academic achievement. Thanks for listening, and remember, if our children can see it, they can achieve it. Parents, are you frustrated with traditional education? I was. Educators, are you struggling to find inclusive academic content that represents your students? I know the feeling. That is why I created Just Like Me Presents. Just Like Me Presents is a multimedia production and development company that stresses the importance of literacy, culturally relevant teaching materials, and active learning experiences. Check out our culturally responsive books and supplemental curriculums on our website, www.justlikemepresents.com. In the Just Like Me book and JLM pick sections, your child will be amazed at how many books they can choose from where the characters look like them. They've never had math explained the way we do with Remember Through Rhyme, and I can guarantee the history we share with Meanwhile in Africa isn't taught in any traditional public school. Let us help you get the tools you need to rewrite your child's education and set them on a path to success. If you have a child in kindergarten through fifth grade, trust me, you'll want to check us out. I think you're going to love our programs and the long-lasting positive impact they will have on your child. Our programs help students develop a strong sense of self, affirm their identities, and encourage critical thinking and entrepreneurial skills. Head on over to the website now at www.justlikemepresents.com and help empower your child to become the best version of themselves. And remember, if our children can see it, they can achieve it.
Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired of the low levels of literacy that plague the Black community? Well, guess what? This didn't happen overnight. And the root cause is most definitely racism. My name is Saisha Beckett Abdullah, and I am the creator and host of Real Reading Talk, where I not only discuss the real issues in a unapologetic, no sugarcoating chaser type of way, but I also offer real solutions. So please join me every week where you will find Real Reading Talk on most podcast platforms like Apple, Spotify, and Anchor.